But first, I want to tell you about my field trip to Fort Worth on Saturday. Back in December, my wife gave me tickets to see Nate Bargatze, my favorite comedian going these days.
He's so good. He's really the only comedian I pay attention to.
We decided that giving experiences for anniversary, birthday, things like that is our preference, you know, over gifts. And we had such a good time in Fort Worth, went out to dinner afterwards. So I really appreciated this, and she went all out. She got great seats. I mean, great seats. We were,
sitting on the stage with him.
Basically, Dickies Arena holds about 14,000 for a concert or an event like this. And we were right in the middle. We were up in the stands. We weren't on the floor. There were about five rows of seats around the circular stage, which was right in the middle of the arena. But we were right in the middle of the arena, like half court if it were a basketball arena, on the second row.
It's a great place to see something like that, either a concert or, in this case, a comic. I just think acoustically there's something about it being just a little bit smaller than your average NBA or NHL arena.
The first time I'd been to Dickies, and I loved it. It's the perfect size for basketball. It seats about 13. For something like this, 14. It was great. Gordo, you saw Kiss there, didn't you?
That's where we saw McCartney.
Yes, Paul McCartney. Okay. I think I've seen Duran Duran there once too. I can't remember, but I've always loved it. Every time I walk away from it, I think this is a great musical venue.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For a big music venue, it's great.
Yeah.
Loved it. Everybody that worked there was really friendly. So many P1s in the crowd there as we're, you know, waiting to get in line, going through security and all that. So many P1s came up and said hi. Really nice visiting with all of them. And for those who aren't familiar with Nate Bargatze, here are a few clips from the tour that he's on now. It's the Big Dumb Eyes Tour.
Because he has big dumb eyes.
Because he says he himself has big dumb eyes. This is the most successful comedic tour ever.
Really?
No stand-up has ever had a tour, and it's been going on now for about a year, year and a half, that has raked in this much money.
So he plays two shows on Saturday, so that's basically he played in front of 30,000 on Saturday.
Yes. And these are clips from the Big Dumb Eyes tour. He didn't use any of this material when we saw him on Saturday, but this is a sample of what his style is like. He's very deadpan, kind of monotone. His delivery is just, it's so perfect,
so great
for the material. He's also one of those clean comedians like Seinfeld. He never ever cusses, never does anything really risque, but yet he's rip-roaringly funny. And so here he is talking about processed food.
I love processed food. I love it. I'm a farm factory table guy. I want the most hands involved in my food. It's coming to an end. I can feel it. I can't do it anymore. It really hurts. And I tell myself, like, I've done it. My jersey would be retired of eating fast food. I've done all the stuff. I've had Taco Bell and threw it away in my neighbor's trash so my wife didn't find out. I used so much ketchup once at a restaurant that a stranger walked up to me and goes, "That's a lot of ketchup." Do you know how much ketchup you gotta use? That guy doesn't want to get involved, you know? But he sees it. So, I mean, his wife's like, "Let it go." He's like, "I think I gotta say something. I don't think he knows that no one's using that much ketchup."
Part of it's his accent, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's from the South, and he's got that accent and just that cadence. And
those big, dumb, glassy eyes.
Yeah.
His deadpan look that he always has is funny.
And I know a lot of comedians do this, but when he says "so" right after he delivers a line, it's just, I don't know. Like you said, it's the way he says it, his timing, he makes a line even funnier than it really is.
Here he is talking about not knowing anything about history.
I don't know anything about history. And I can tell because every history movie I watch on the edge of my seat. what is going to happen. I watched Pearl Harbor. I was as surprised as they were, you know?
And here's one more, and this has to do with the pronunciation of oil, which we've talked about with you,
yeah,
Gordo, before.
I have a problem.
This is funny.
Oil, I say oil, super southern one, oil. I don't even know how to say it, like out to y'all. Oil, O-I-L. Yeah. I go motor oil, like tinfoil. I mean, Southern Community College, that should be mandatory that they fix that. They should write OIL on the board. And I just go, oil. They go, all right, we're going to take care of that, all right? There's a pretty good chance you're going to be working with a lot of that.
All right, so very funny stuff. So that's what we got on Saturday afternoon. Two shows. We went to the 3 o'clock matinee, and we got there, and we didn't know if there'd be opening acts. There were three. There's a guy that's hosting this tour, comedian named Julian McCullough. He was really funny. He came out, and he worked the crowd, and he was really great. And they had two other comedians come on. They each did about 10 minutes. So those three did 30 minutes worth. They each did 10 minutes. The second guy, I can't remember their names, and I'm bad about that, but he was from Philadelphia, short Italian guy with a real tight crew cut and a former teacher, and he was talking about growing up in Philly and all this, and halfway through his set he goes, by the way, I'd like to apologize for looking like every cop that's been in trouble in the news lately. And the third guy was really funny. He was from Missouri, and he goes, you know what we have in Missouri? We have high school bass fishing like we have here.
Yeah.
He goes, we have high school bass fishing. They play other schools in bass fishing. And he goes, there are cheerleaders there that are cheering, patient, be patient, patient, be patient. So he had some funny stuff too. But when we got there to Dickie's Arena, we had no idea. Big sign on the door when you go through security, today's show is being taped for Nate's Netflix special.
Okay.
So I looked at my wife. I said, wow, we might get on the Netflix special. And we get in there and we realize Julian McCullough comes out and says, we were going to tape the special at the Intuit Dome out in L.A. But that place was too state-of-the-art and everything worked perfectly, so we decided to do it here. So they, for whatever reason, they ended up taping the two shows on Saturday, the 3 o'clock and the 7 o'clock for the special. And it was really interesting because before Nate came out, a TV producer came over the PA and said, all right, now here's what we're going to do. And McCullough, when he was out there working the crowd, he also said, you know, no phones, nobody pull out your phone.
Wow.
He says, do not get up during Nate's set. If you have to go to the bathroom, go during the openers. He goes, do not get up during Nate's set. And they had all these instructions for us. Don't sit there with your arms folded. You know, try to laugh. Even if you don't get it, if everybody's laughing, just join in.
Hmm.
And so then the producer, the Netflix producer, whoever comes on, the PA right before Nate comes out and goes, all right, we want big standing ovation here. His daughter is going to introduce him, and his daughter was sitting three or four rows right behind us, directly behind us.
You're going to get on camera.
So we turned around and we saw his 13-year-old daughter, and she had a microphone, and over the PA, the director counted her in. Goes, okay, are you ready? 3, 2, 1. And she goes, ladies and gentlemen, here's my dad, Nate Bergazzi. And then we all stand up and clap. At the end of his set, he walks off after an hour, and he just killed it. I mean, he was so funny. And I love being that close to him and just seeing it. It was just a great experience. He walks off, goes back to his dressing room, and then as everybody's getting up to leave, the producer comes over the PA and says, hold on, we need everybody to stay in their seats. We need to shoot the opening again. Just the standing ovation. Nate didn't come back out, but everybody had to sit back down. And they said, okay, I can't count you in, and then standing ovation, 3, 2, 1, and we all stood up and clapped again.
Wow.
So it was weird. It was like being on the inside of a Hollywood production.
Yeah, but yeah. Did it feel a little creepy, though? Just the artifice that's involved in
no,
the...
hey,
reshooting
like really
a standing ovation.
It didn't feel creepy, but it was a little weird.
Yeah.
It wasn't creepy, though. It was kind of exciting knowing you were part of that Netflix production. Apparently, the special will come out November or December.
Did people respect the no cell phone thing for
yeah.
the most part?
Never
yeah.
saw anybody pull their phone out.
See?
I was tempted.
You can
but
do
I,
it. You can
yeah.
do it.
And then, perfect afternoon, perfect evening. We went out to dinner in Fort Worth. Just had a great, great day. But during the openers, there was a guy sitting behind us, directly behind me and two seats over, who was the overlaugher. And he had the loudest, most obnoxious laugh. And the problem was, he was not laughing at the punchlines. He was laughing at the setups.
He's inappropriate laughter guy.
Inappropriate laughter guy, and was laughing so loud at the setup lines that I couldn't hear the punchline.
Oh, no.
And I was just kept looking. My wife and I were looking at each other like, this is going to ruin the whole show. And I don't. I said, I can't turn around and tell a guy at a comedy show to not laugh. So I just thought, I'm going to just ride this out.
Hey,
thank God. Once Nate got out there, his laughter was normal. He stopped over laughing over the setups, and he just laughed at the punchlines.
Maybe he's just trying to help out the early guys. Maybe.
Or was he doing a bit?
Maybe. Maybe.
He was trolling the opening guys.
No, I turned around and looked at him, and he didn't look like the kind of guy that was doing a bit. He just looked like a good, happy grandpa that was just loving life, loving being there.
Love setups,
yeah.
The stand-up comic is such an interesting set of skills, and especially someone like that who can command a room of 15,000 or whatever it was.
It's amazing.
For an hour.
For
two shows a day.
Yes.
How do you do that?
And I didn't see any teleprompter. He knows his material so well. He messed up one line. There was one joke line that he messed up that I'm sure he corrected for the nightcap, and they'll use that one in the special. But I also thought it was odd that they were taping two different shows with different crowds and people around him.
I think that's pretty common.
Yeah,
they film multiple ones and then
same clothes.
The special, yeah, same clothes, and the yeah. special you see is an edited up, you know, a mix up of those two, a mixtape of those two performances, two or three performances sometimes.
Yeah, I wonder. Since we were there, I'll be looking for, is that a different person on the front row, you know, uh-huh. for that joke as opposed to that joke. But maybe the background fans are so blurry you can't tell. I'm sure they know how to edit all of that in post. That's what we say in the business.
So how much is he banking now? Netflix special playing arenas like that?
Man, and he's got a movie coming out. I think it just came out a week ago.
Yeah.
Theaters only. That's the interesting thing about him. He's 47, and he really just blew up about 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
So he was out there grinding it in stand-up for a long time, for 20 years before he got noticed.
Wow.
You know,
what a great story.
Maybe 10 years ago he started kind of getting big, but, you know, he got noticed. But it really wasn't until 3 years ago and some of the SNL performances and...
Yeah, that helped him a lot.
That he really blew up.
Okay, how much does celebrity net worth... say he's worth. I have it here.
I'll say 40 million.
I was going to say 30.
All right, Craig must have looked because it's 40 million.
No, I didn't look. I just figured. You know, another interesting thing about him, I read this article, I think it was in the New Yorker, about Nate, and his persona is, and I think he really is a super nice guy.
Pretty normal guy.
I don't think you can fake that. I mean, some people can, but I don't think he's faking this. But in this article, and he talks about, he wants to be mega rich, mega famous. Like, he wants to be, I think he said he wants to be like Dolly Parton. He wants an amusement park like Dolly World. He's got a podcast. He's got a movie. He's put out a book that I'm reading. He's doing the biggest comedy tour ever. Like, he wants to be the biggest comedy superstar ever. And it doesn't go with his personality.
No, he's just... Yeah, such a normal guy and understated and all that. Can't believe Nate Land.
Yeah,
what would you do there?
Yeah, I don't know. What kind of rides do you have there?
Right. He's a fascinating guy, but he deserves everything because he's hilarious.
He's awesome.
He's a comedic genius.
Is there any more of a naked performance than the stand-up comedian in an arena?
He was on a round stage in the middle of 15,000 with nothing but a microphone.
Oh, my gosh.
The only prop was at the very end when a little thing rose up side stage with his phone on it, And he said, this is what you get with Netflix money. And he walked over and he read a text thread between his family about a fight his sister got in that was hilarious. It was really, really funny. But that's the only prop he used the whole
hour. Funny idea to read a text thread.
Yeah, it was great. All right, that's my experience in Fort Worth, seeing the great Nate Bargatze. Thank you to my wife for that great gift.